Hour number two, kicking off here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour number two is brought to you by our friends at Inward Half. Experience the comfort of their signature polos, outerwear, and other accessories cleverly designed to keep you in the everyday life swing of things. Doom, doom. Is that how it sounds when you hit a golf ball, but Sam? Doom, yeah. Doom. Yeah. Ping. Is that why they named the clubs Ping?
Ping. I would guess.
Yeah, I was joking. I assume that's why. Surely to God, that's why. Inward half, I assume it's named because is that where you want to aim when you're putting? In the inward half of the hole, is that a saying? I assume that's a saying. I'm not a golf guy, even though one of us knew that you could have a cart on the senior tour, and it wasn't you two that knew that. It was me, but not a golf guy. I don't know, you know, how I knew that. You guys didn't, but...
Don't drag Bernhard through the mud like that.
Is that a saying? Aim for the inward half? Feels like it would be.
I thought that was mentioned last week. It's got something to do with your putting line, maybe?
Yeah, I assume that's what you want to do.
I've never heard of it, but I'm going to start using it.
Well, how about you enjoy the walk-in? How about that?
I will.
Enjoy the walk-in. I know what that means. Enjoy the walk-in. Inwardhalf.com. Find you some gear. Experience their comfort. They're very comfortable, Sam.
I would think it's like they call like the first nine holes is like out, and then like you're coming into the clubhouse. So I would think maybe like the inward half, like maybe the back nine. Enjoy your walk in.
You know what? I understand what enjoy the walk in means. I understand what enjoy the walk in. Oh, okay. So you're saying those are connected. Okay.
Sam's.
So the back nine's called the inward half?
It is kind of weird, yeah. You would think that the back nine is the out, right? But going out is like the first nine holes out to the back nine.
And then it circles back around?
Back in, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I think it is. But maybe inward half is the putting.
No.
Or it's a dual meaning.
Actually, what you just...
A little double entendre.
It makes some sense.
You know what? I'll get to the bottom of this.
He was holding that.
I actually am curious.
Sam was back pocketing that, acting like, I don't really know, but how about this? maybe if you... Have you ever thought of this? Kind of
it
like
did
kind of
come to me at the end there, honestly. I was like, inward half for putting, I mean, it sounds right, but I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, maybe it'd be more so the inner half versus the inward half. Yeah. Okay.
I'm curious to see if I'm correct, though.
I've sent out a text.
Okay.
I've sent out a text.
Let me know.
Sam's doing this, playing this game. I'm curious if I'm correct. And in his head, he's like, I'm correct. These guys don't know what they're talking about.
Well, again, keep in mind that he didn't think that you could have a cart on the senior tour.
John, no, you can't have a cart. Come on, it's professional golf. No.
I asked how many golfers on the senior tour use one.
To which there were a lot of articles written by like people that were saying all the pro golfers were mad that now the old people could ride in carts and that it wasn't real pro golf. So like, you're not wrong in the outrage and the dismissiveness. I mean, you are wrong because you can have it. Sure. Again, I knew that and you didn't, but let's hit some headlines and I will update you on the meaning.
Okay.
Who was last thing? Who was the golfer that was
back nine, you buffoons, is what he said. You're not a buffoon. You had it right.
I don't know.
I don't know why he called us buffoons. If he called me a buffoon with no S, I would say, okay,
he's calling me a buffoon?
He just said you buffoons.
Oh.
Which I don't think you're a buffoon. I think you're right. Okay. I'll take buffoon.
All right. Yeah.
But to my defense, in my defense, I was acknowledging I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't think you can call me a buffoon. To me, a buffoon is reserved for somebody who acts like he knows, who thinks he's smart. Mm-hmm. I was saying, hey, I don't know. But I got to the bottom of it, so now we all know.
We walked through it.
I've never heard of the back nine referred to that, but I'm not a golfer. I don't know the front nine or the back nine.
Back to the golf cart for a second. Was it Casey Martin that was given the exemption to use a cart?
We've been talking about that in my sports law class. That's one of the cases.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting.
Honestly. Unfair advantage versus
like
discrimination.
If he's disabled or not, and like if it's
what is his disability?
He had like it was something in his legs basically growing up to where like he just couldn't walk like over a mile basically or something like that. So he was saying that
can he still not walk over a mile?
I don't think so. And so he was saying that he was healthy basically as a junior golfer and was successful and was walking, and then like
the disease
got worse and worse over time, I guess, and then a lot of the golfers on tour didn't want to let him have one, and his gripe was that basically, like, in his time from having to walk from, like, the cart path to the whole, to the shot is, like, still considered strenuous for him and stuff like that. I don't know, it's an interesting class.
Is he any good?
He was good, I think.
Okay.
He's retired now. I want to say he coaches at, like, Oregon or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, let's hit some headlines.
Yeah, let's hit some headlines. VFL, Jordan Beck has been called up to the Rockies yesterday. Rockies are in shambles. They're obviously not a great organization right now, but Jordan Beck is playing unbelievable. Started out in AAA out in Albuquerque this year. He's been hitting .307, five homers, 28 RBIs, five stolen bases. That is through just about 100 at-bats in AAA. He was the MVP, the spring training MVP for the Rockies, so he's definitely been moving through the ranks well in terms of their minor league system. But they call him up, and you'll see Jordan Beck making his debut today against the Marlins.
Okay. It feels like the Vols starting to put some real guys in the majors now. Yeah. You know, I saw Trey Lipscomb had a good weekend, where at one point I saw he was 7 for 11, I think, in their weekend series against the Marlins. I don't know where he ended up, but saw he was 7 of 11. Nick Senzel was also mashing. He hit five home runs in six games. Was maybe that the number he had?
Really? I didn't see that.
He had a multi-home run game for sure. I saw that.
I want to say he had five home runs in six games. Let me verify so I'm not giving people fake news.
He has five home runs on the season, so you are right there.
Well, no. Yep, five home runs on the season. So let's see. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yep.
Yeah.
And he hit those in five games, Sam.
Nice.
Four games with home runs, and like Bob said, one multi-home run game against the Marlins where he hit had five RBIs to go along with it. So, yeah.
Always good to gain a little confidence against the Marlins. That's who we'll be starting off with.
So they're back to just sucking, huh, the Marlins?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're
well,
bad.
They never really left.
They kind of left sucking. They became like a fringe playoff team, right?
Kind of, yeah. They got in on, like, the shortened season, I think, to the playoffs.
Were they not somewhat in the mix last year for a wild card spot? I thought
they were a little bit.
They have some good pitching prospects for sure.
On the fringe.
Yeah, they were on the fringe last year, but not really, like.
Yeah, I'm not counting the COVID sprint where they, you know, won 30 games, 27 games out of 60.
A lot of those pitching prospects are hurt now, too.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yuri Perez and
84 and 78 last year. They were pretty good.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
Speaking of former Vols.
But they made the playoffs, Sam.
Pretty average.
They made the playoffs last year.
Last year?
Yeah. Am I the baseball guy here on this show, too?
It had to be that one-game wild card thing. Had to be.
I mean, they were 84 and 78. I mean, the Phillies and Braves, of course, in the division. So,
I mean, they're the worst team in baseball right now.
I think Colorado might be right there.
I'm saying, like, statistic, like, record-wise right now. I think they won, like, six games or something like that. Yeah, they're 6-24.
They don't do the one-game playoff anymore, right? It's just a three-game playoff series now?
Yeah.
They didn't advance past that weekend series.
Who did
I don't
play?
Believe. I don't know. The Diamondbacks, the Phillies, the Braves. Didn't they lose to the Braves?
I thought you were the baseball guy. Yeah, oh, yeah, they did play the Braves.
I played the Braves. I am the baseball guy. Thank you very much.
Sticking with former Vols for a second, the one that has surprised me that I thought was going to maybe get a chance to play was Drew Gilbert being with the Mets. But
he's moving up. Yeah. He's moving up. I think you'll definitely see that soon.
Because the Mets kind of cleaned house late last season, and I thought that was going to give him an opportunity. It was a good landing spot for him when he was involved in that trade, but he'll get there.
I think he's pretty high up on their prospect rankings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you'll see, I think Drew Gilbert is probably the next Vol that you will see get called up. In the NFL, Travis Kelce, he signs a two-year extension, making him the NFL's highest-paid tight end.
Philadelphia, by the way, not the Braves. They lost to the Phillies.
Okay, yeah, okay. Travis Kelce, though, set to make $17 million guaranteed. Most guaranteed money out of any tight end, obviously, and the richest tight end contract in the league. Deservedly so, will be 35 years old in October. I would assume that this two-year extension probably rides him off right into the sunset. And
do you think Taylor laughed at him You think she was chuckling whenever she saw that contract? Like, really? That's all you get?
Yeah.
I make that in like a night.
No, back-to-back Super Bowl champions, and you only get, what, $35 million over 2 years?
She sees that headline and is like, oh, that's cute.
That's what I gave away to my workers last year as a rounding error. Like,
that was my Christmas bonus.
Yeah, that's what I gave away for just a little PR boost. $35 million, huh? To go and get all those concussions? Huh.
Maybe you should retire earlier.
Interesting. Have you thought about, yeah, have you thought about just getting into entertainment?
I love getting concussed too much, probably is what he thinks.
I mean, she could find him a gig. She could find him something.
Oh, yeah.
She got him the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader reboot, right? Like, I mean, like, he's going to.
Is he the host of that now?
Yep. That was the headline last year, or I guess the beginning of this year.
Are they changing it, though?
I feel like he should just be a contestant.
It's Amazon.
Yeah, I thought there was some. I thought, and I, again, maybe I'm mixing it up with his brother. There's another one, like, Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? Was. I was wondering if they were rebranding the fifth grader format.
Oh, I mean, maybe, possibly. Yeah. Maybe that would be better. Because, I guess the kids were the magic sauce with Jeff Foxworthy, but maybe 20 years later we're like, hey, maybe we don't need to put these kids on TV.
Yeah.
The celebrity aspect, you get celebrities on there, and people would rather watch celebrities than random fifth graders, at least I would.
I don't know. I thought the appeal was with just a random fifth grader schooling you.
Yeah, but also, like, if the celebrities are dumb. But what if the celebrities are smart? I don't know. Let's see. I haven't seen that update, but I'll get to the bottom of it.
Just get Travis Kelce competing, I think, not as hosting. But, yeah, Travis Kelce, he will probably, I would assume that would be his last contract in the NFL. But, yeah, two more years of Kelce and KC, and you'll see that young core of wide receivers now with Xavier Worthy try to patch it together and see how many Super Bowls they can win in that time.
It is Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity?
Yeah.
They announced on April 16th. I missed that update.
What do you know?
First 20-episode season will air on Amazon Prime.
When?
I don't see a release date there, but I'll keep you up to date. I'll more as the story unfolds.
Okay.
You seem very interested, Sam.
I like that show a lot, honestly. Staying with
what
the Kelce's.
What are they going to do with the song, though? The song was so good.
Yeah.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
I think they can keep it.
Jeff Foxworthy has to be sick. Like, really?
I think they can keep it.
You stole this from me, too? Are you smarter than a celebrity? No, doesn't have the same.
I think just say fifth grader and just slap, like, celebrity edition on the logo once it comes up on the screen. Sticking with the Kelce's, Jason Kelce. He has officially been announced as part of the Monday Night Countdown crew. I know that has been rumored for a little bit, but he will be making his debut there. And honestly, it's a pretty good lineup now for Monday Night Countdown. You're going to have Scott Van Pelt, Marcus Spears, Ryan Clark, and now Jason Kelce, Robert Griffin III, likely getting the boot out of that program, but I'll be interested to see how Kelce does breaking down some football every Monday.
CBS made some changes too, right? CBS
yeah,
got rid of that Phil
too.
Sims and Boomer Esiason and brought in Matt Ryan.
Yep.
So Matt Ryan, J.J. Watt, Nate Burleson.
Cower
sticking around kind of as the Jimmy Johnson role. So they're trying to get younger. It is kind of funny that, like, boring Phil Sims is replaced by boring Matt Ryan.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to call Boomer boring because I used to love Boomer when I was a kid. CBS was my go-to pregame show, and I loved Boomer. I was a little heartbroken when I found out he was like on the Bengals. Like, the Bengals suck. This guy used to play for the Bengals, but I don't know if he was any good or not. But yeah, Matt Ryan, J.J. Watt, Nate Burleson. Okay.
Yeah. Boomer's all in on his radio show still, though, with CBS Sports Radio or whatever they call it these days. And He did a little announcement yesterday and did the whole, hey, there was no better way to go out than this last Super Bowl and yada yada. So he's saying all the right stuff. I always felt I've liked Boomer. I felt like he got a little bit boring, and Sims was absolutely boring. I mean, that move couldn't have come soon enough, in my opinion. So see if they can cultivate something with Ryan. I mean, the real stars there. I think Watt's got a lot of potential, and then I love Nate Burleson. I think he's strong.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Cowboys reuniting with Zeke, one-year deal, $3 million.
Is he going to be the starter?
He really could be. I mean, they needed a running
back. Yeah, they got who, Rico Dowdle or whatever?
Yeah, Rico Dowdle and...
Dowdle, Rico.
The little short kid from Kansas State, what was his name?
Little short kid from Kansas State.
Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say his name was. I don't know why I know his name because he's not.
We talked about this yesterday. It is kind of a head scratcher that they didn't take a running back in the draft.
Yeah.
I don't know where they stacked up in terms of draft picks, but some of those guys that went in the top three or four, including Jalen Wright, could have been pretty effective there, I think.
Do you think Travis Kelce knows that they're making fun of him on this show? Like, are you smarter than a celebrity? Like, they're basically saying he's the stereotype dumb celebrity is what they're going for. Because, I mean, that was kind of what they were doing with Jeff Foxworthy, right? Because, I mean, like, Jeff Foxworthy was supposed to be, like, a dumb redneck. I mean, I know he wasn't necessarily playing the Larry the Cable Guy role, but, like, are you smarter than a fifth grader? He wasn't supposed to be necessarily smart, but, like, I think they're going even further with Travis Kelce. Are you smarter than a celebrity? It's going to be like, hey, look at me. I'm dumb, too.
I hope he doesn't, though.
I mean, if you're him, you're like, hey, the check still clears, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm maybe still going to be in line to marry, like, a billionaire. So I'm okay. I'm okay with it if you are making fun of me, but I wonder if he knows. Maybe he's the smartest one of us all. Maybe he's just rising up the rankings just off vibes, catching a football. I mean, he did have a plan to get Taylor, and he got her, you know. He just started.
What was his plan? Like a friendship bracelet?
Yeah, he made that friendship bracelet and got her attention that way, and now look at him. Nice host of game shows and really popular.
It helps to be the best tight end in the league.
Does it? I don't see, you know, Antonio Gonzalez running around. I don't see Big Tony running around doing anything. I don't see.
He's probably got a good-looking wife.
Yeah, I know, but I don't see him getting to host game shows. Do you see Gronk really, like, Gronk hasn't had the crossover to superstardom. I mean, they'll break him out. He'll get to spike some things from time to time. But, like,
I feel like Gronk makes a lot of media appearances. Maybe not, like, having his own TV show type.
Media appearances, yes, but media appearances all built around football, no? Like, I haven't seen Gronk crossover. I ain't seen him on Good Morning America or anything. He ain't taking over Michael Strahan's lane. They bring Gronk out.
Specific examples, but I feel like Gronk has done.
They bring Gronk out. They tell him to spike it, and hey, play the dumb idiot on the whatever those commercials are. USSA or USA. Yeah, and he plays dumb in that one, but you know, he's getting money there, so maybe he doesn't care either. I don't know. I was just wondering if Kelce was self-aware. If Taylor has set him down, be like, look, they think you're dumb. You need to change your image.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, your brother's the fat drunk one. They think you're the dumb one. We'll learn more about it. Igor Milicic commits to Tennessee, hits us in the transfer portal. We'll talk with Jordan Moore, Fan Run contributor, coming up next.
It's baseball.
It is time to learn more about it with our friend Jordan Moore, Fan Run contributor. Jordan, top of the morning to you.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going well. Do you like the name of the segment I've given you? Learn more about it. Are we good with that? Do we need to workshop it? How are we feeling?
Hey, that's perfect. Sounds good. Sounds perfect.
You've been all over it. Igor Milicic to Tennessee, the Charlotte transfer, the big man that can stroke it. He makes it official, joining Rick Barnes in Tennessee next year. What do you think the biggest thing the audience should know about Igor?
The biggest thing that I think they should know is when you look at his size at 6'10", 225, a lot of people may think that he's probably a back-to-the-basket big, kind of like a Euro Splavic, and that could be further from the truth. He's very, very skilled at 6'10", has very athletic, has guard skills, shoots the three at a high clip at almost 38%. A very good shooter. He was top 50 in the country last season in total shooting percentage. He's one of the best shooters of the basketball in the entire country. And even at his size and with having guard skills and kind of playing at the perimeter, he also averaged 8.5 rebounds for Charlotte last year, which led the team in over one block. So it's not just that he's guard skills at 6'10". He can also get physical and get inside the paint and rebound the basketball at a pretty high clip also.
Hey, Jordan, good morning. Sticking with Igor and where he came from. You and I were exchanging notes over the weekend, and one of the things that was discussed was, again, where he's coming from. Charlotte, in terms of game pace and tempo, nowhere near what he's getting ready to get into, right? Very slow tempo at Charlotte, and would love your thoughts on that. Do we think that that's kind of a hidden gem there that might make this guy more of an opportunity for this team than even we're imagining?
Yes, definitely. Charlotte was one of the slowest tempo teams in all of college basketball last season. So when people look at his stat line of just, you know, a little over 12 points a game, I wouldn't say that's anything to kind of scoff at, because, as I said, you know, they played at a really slow pace, so it limited his possessions. But when you stretch that out over per 100 possessions, you know, there was a lot of talk about the Cade Tyson kid that went to North Carolina, and it kind of seemed like they were going to take either Tyson or Miličić, but not both. And when you stretch both of their stat lines out per 100 possessions, Tyson only averaged about 2.5 more points per 100 possessions than Igor Miličić did. And Miličić has him on pretty much every other statistical category per 100 possessions. So there's a lot of potential with him if the staff and Coach Barnes continues to run this up-tempo style, pushing it in transition. There's a chance that, you know, he could explode on the scene. I don't want to say like Dalton Connect, because I don't think it's fair to compare any of these guys coming into a Dalton Connect. But there is, to me, a small possibility with his skill set and getting into on a roster that's going to be more up tempo that you could see his stats improve off of what he did last year at Charlotte.
Do we think that Igor is going to get minutes at the five by himself, or is he strictly going to be someone playing the four?
I think that he's strictly someone playing the four unless it becomes a necessity with foul trouble or maybe an injury. I think he can slide to the five in certain situations. And even against some teams that may not have the, you know, as we saw this past season, some of the Tolu Smiths or the Johnny Brooms or those type of guys that gave Adu fits, I think that he could potentially slide to the five and play some minutes there in certain situations, because he's also – now, one of the things in the Purdue game that I think we all kind of agree that we really needed to be able to beat Purdue and Zach Edey was you needed a five-man that could kind of stretch the floor to pull Edey away from the basket. You really didn't have that. So there could be some situations where maybe they test that and see, okay, can Miličić hold up at the five consistently to where now we can get in some pick-and-pop game with our center to pull the other team's center away from the basket to get a clear lane to the rim.
So moving from offense to defense, because we know that's an important part of the mix with any Rick Barnes team, I'm just wondering your thoughts on that in terms of – and I mean, we'll talk also about Felix Okpara here in a moment, and we know what he can bring defensively based on what we're hearing. But let's talk about Igor for a second. Do you have any background on what he does from a defensive rating standpoint? Doesn't mean he has to be elite, obviously, but we know that you got to bring some effort there.
Yeah, so I actually looked this up. I think it was on Friday or Saturday, and I think I sent it to you, Bob. His defensive rating was right at 99 for Charlotte last year, which was actually better than Vescovi, Zakai, and Dalton Connect last season. So he's not a slouch on defense. It's not like, you know, you're going to have to worry about hiding him on the defensive end. And as I also mentioned on Miličić, he averaged over one block a game. So he can have, he does have some ability. I think Jonas averaged right about 1.4, 1.5 blocks, and Miličić is like 1.1, 1.2. So not that massive of a difference in the blocks. So, yeah, he can play some defense at the four. And actually, you know, to my opinion, the Darnstone Dubar kid that we're bringing in, him and Miličić will be battling for that four spot, in my opinion. And Miličić actually had a better defensive rating than what Dubar did at Hofstra. So I wouldn't just assume, you know, that maybe Dubar was going to get that starting four spot. I think Miličić has a legit chance to come in and show that he can play defense at this level and be able to get that four spot and maybe bring Dubar off the bench.
Yeah, I think the defensive rating stat is hard to judge, you know, especially in college, a one-year sample, just because you are still judged by the rest of your roster. And I don't know what Hofstra had or Charlotte had, the rest of the roster, where the defenders were there. I find it hard to believe, Jordan, that Igor would actually put Dubar on the bench, because it seems by all accounts Rick Barnes has been glowing and ranting and raving about how much he likes Dubar. Is that something you're hearing or no?
Yeah, they liked him. And, you know, that's one of the very, very first guys they brought in
right.
for a visit.
I'd be shocked if he ended up on the bench.
I think it's – I mean, my personal opinion, you know, I think it's going to be a battle. I heard that the staff thinks that Milicic could be – as we all know, you guys have talked about Chaz Lanier. There's potential that you could land Chaz Lanier. It seems likely at this point. You know, I've heard the staff thinks that outside Lanier, Milicic is going to be the best transfer they're bringing in. And as we go back to what we just said a few minutes ago, I think that goes to he's kind of a hidden gem. Played on a team with a very, very slow-paced team. His stats don't look that impressive because of the minimal possessions that he got. But when you turn the tape on and you look at him, I mean, at 6'10", 225, he can do everything. And as I mentioned, he can also block shots and rebound. So my personal opinion, I don't think it's a given that Dubar does start. I think the staff really likes Milicic. And no, I got it from somebody else, too, that told me about 3 to 4 weeks ago when they were setting the visit up for Milicic that this was one that they were really intrigued by and really wanted to bring in. And once he got on campus and they were visiting with him, fell in love with him, his mindset, how he wants to play the game even more. So I think it's definitely going to be a battle this summer between Dubar and Milicic.
So yesterday we saw the two bigs were – most familiar with from Tennessee's last season with Jonas Adu and Tobey Awaka making their choices where to move on to. So we'll focus on the big that we have coming in Felix Akpara. And while that news is about a week old, there's been a lot of dissecting on what he can bring to the table. And I think one of the things we keep arriving at is maybe he's, in a perfect scenario, he's kind of the best of what both Jonas and Tobey bring in terms of motor, in terms of, you know, as far as length and rim protection, et cetera. How do you see him fitting in with this team? And do you think he is the lead five in this lineup? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about they want to give Estrella more run and they really want to work on developing him, which we're excited about. But do you feel like this is Felix's spot as a starter?
Yeah, I believe that your description is perfect. I think Akpar is definitely a combination of what Adu does well and what Awaka does well. You know, Akpar has the length and shot blocking ability of Adu. Akpar is actually a more elite shot blocker than what Adu was. And then he also has the high motor and rebounding ability and strength levels of an Awaka. So you're losing those two guys, but I think you're bringing in a guy that's a combination of what both of those guys do well. I think he's the perfect fit for the type of roster they're currently putting together. You know, you're putting together, as you and I talked about, Bob, you look at who they're bringing in and what this roster is being constructed. They're bringing in a lot of guys that can shoot the basketball, a lot of spot-up shooters, a lot of guys that can put the ball on the floor and score it. You got to have somebody that can also protect the rim and layups and dunks. I don't think they're going to go to the extreme level of a Nate Oates at Alabama or a Shirts at Indiana State. But I think they are kind of adapting more to a modern game and a modern style. And Akpara is better than what Adu was at finishing around the rim. Last season, Akpara was 75% of his field goal attempts were at the rim, which is 10% higher than what Adu's was. He shot right at 70% at the rim, which is about 7% more than what Adu was. So now you have a better rim finisher in Akpara. And a better shot blocker in Akpara. And I also think, as we talked about all season long, Adu struggled against bigger fives that had the strength and the height, and they could just put him under the basket. And I don't think you're going to see that with Akpara. He's strong, high motor. You turn his tape on, he gives a full effort. And to your question about Akpara and JP Estrella, I think Akpara likely gets the start because there's still a part of Rick Barnes that wants that defensive mentality, that wants that defensive mindset, and he wants to set a tone. And I think Akpara is going to give you that, and they can bring along JP at a steady pace. And two, I think you had the perfect combination of bigs now. You have a guy who is a oop and dunk offensive big who's also an elite defensive big. Now you compare him to a big that can shoot the basketball. We've heard that JP can step out and shoot it. I want to see that this season. I want to have the staff allow him to do that. So you kind of have a defensive big and an offensive big. So now you can kind of mismatch, play different bigs depending on what your opponent does well. So I think they've done a really good job with bringing Apar in here and teaming him with Estrella. And you don't have to worry about being undersized now. Both of those guys are right at 6'10", 6'11". So you don't have to worry about playing a small big at the five spot anymore.
In the Fan Run Radio Discord, 37 Club members get access to it. Go to fanrunradio.com/the37club. This morning, Jordan, you posted, LeBron is a Laker, missed the playoffs, Mickey Mouse fraud championship, first round exit, missed the playoffs, swept in the Western Conference Finals, first round exit, and I'm wondering what's your agenda here? What was the purpose of posting that?
As always, I try to get under Brett's skin. It's always good to get Brett going early in the morning. Makes for good radio when him and Jake come on the air. And I just like to poke fun at Brett. Also, I'm a 365-day-a-year LeBron James hater. Never rest. So, always propping up Kobe and MJ. Okay. That's my goal there.
Around those same years, age 35, Michael Jordan missed the playoffs, quit. Age 36, missed the playoffs, quit. Age 37, missed the playoffs, quit. 38, missed the playoffs, wasn't good enough. 39, missed the playoffs, wasn't good enough. How do you respond to that?
As any Michael Jordan fan will always say, he's 6-0 in the NBA Finals.
It's easy when you get to go against Karl Malone and Clyde Drexler. Like, it's a little bit different going against Steph Curry and Tim Duncan. It's a little bit different weight class there, I would say.
Yeah, but let's not act like LeBron didn't have any help either. Let's not act like LeBron never had other Hall of Famers on his roster.
Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, or Karl Malone and John Stockton and Jeff Hornacek. I wonder which one's a tougher team to beat.
Did LeBron have other Hall of Famers and
sure.
other superstars on his team?
Sure.
Or is it just LeBron? Because here's the argument that we get into.
Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman were Hall of Famers too, just for the record.
They were. And so was John Stockton. So was Karl Malone. So, I mean, as we get into different eras and we get into different times.
The Spurs had four Hall of Famers? The Spurs team that beat LeBron had four Hall of Famers on it?
Hey,
you gave me two with John Stockton and Karl Malone. Name anybody else on that Jazz team that was worth a damn. Greg Ostertag?
The first one with LeBron and the San Antonio Spurs. Hey, I give that one to LeBron. He was that one I give to LeBron.
I'm talking about the second one too, with Kawhi Hall of Famer, Tony Parker Hall of Famer, Manu Ginobili Hall of Famer, Tim Duncan Hall of Famer.
LeBron had Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, Ray Allen.
Uh-huh.
I mean, keep going. All those are Hall of Famers too. We gotta forget all those guys.
Not as good as Tim Duncan and Kawhi Leonard, I'll tell you that. Especially not at that point in their career. If you're going to look at what D Wade was at that point in his career, D Wade was broken down at that point.
This is the thing with LeBron people is it's always somebody else.
It's not always somebody else. It's just context matters.
See, here's what happens. Every time LeBron goes to a team, they load up on all these players, and everybody talks about how LeBron is his team is the favorite to win the NBA championship. This is probably the best roster he's ever had. They're loaded. They get into the season. They start underachieving. LeBron starts throwing all of his teammates under the bus. He ships everybody out at the trade deadline. He blames on everybody else.
No one.
It becomes everybody else's problem besides LeBron James' problem.
That's what happens every time with LeBron.
Also, how many head coaches does LeBron James have to get fired?
Well, that's another point. Like, I mean, if he had got coached by Phil Jackson his entire career, or at least his entire championship-level career, his prime, maybe he would have had more championships because he got to pair up with maybe the greatest coach of all time. Not David Blatt. David Blatt and Mike Brown, oh my God, and Frank Vogel, a little bit different level of coaches, wouldn't you say?
Is Eric Spoelstra one of the best coaches in the NBA? Yes or no?
Yes, you know who helped him.
Eric Spoelstra fired. He tried to force Pat Riley into firing Eric Spoelstra.
Do, Do you think Eric Spoelstra going small? Maybe do you think Eric Spoelstra going small and getting to be the greatest coach of all time got helped by having LeBron James at power forward? Do you think that maybe helped Spoelstra get things going there?
It didn't help Spoelstra when LeBron folded against J.J. Barrett and Jason Redick and Jason Terry in the fourth quarters of the NBA Finals.
You know what else didn't help? When LeBron beat Spoelstra's ass in the Finals a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's true. That was the Mickey Mouse Straw and COVID championship.
I thought you were a Heat fan. Why are you putting down the Heat's accomplishment of making the Finals that year? Why are you calling it Mickey Mouse? Some would say that's hoop
because
at its purest form.
It's the same. Hey,
yeah, it's like the Lakers didn't have the one seed. They had home court advantage.
I'm so glad we did this segment.
Bob is a Dodgers fan, and Bob may not like it, but the Dodgers went in the championship that year as a Mickey Mouse.
No, I would agree. I would agree with that.
Yeah, but otherwise it was Tom Brady, LeBron James, and Nick Saban. Yeah, the Dodgers got a fraud one, but the other three champions are three of the GOATs. Tom Brady, Nick Saban, and LeBron James.
That's fair. Me and you and I are going to have to get on and on a podcast or something, and we're going to have to get on there, and we're going to have to debate NBA, we're going to have to debate LeBron James, we're going to have to debate Kobe.
Brett's not invited.
Yeah, and Brett.
Brett's not invited. Brett is not invited. And by the way, just for the record, I'll do the MJ-LeBron take. Kobe doesn't have a seat at the table, okay?
Oh, my.
Kobe doesn't have a seat at the table. If you're going to sit here and talk about, well, LeBron had Ray Allen and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, okay, well, Kobe had Shaq. All right, he had Shaq.
For three out of the five, he had Shaq.
Yeah,
three out of the five, he had Shaq. Let's also not act like two of those first three that Kobe won that he was some kind of slouch.
I'm not acting like he's a slouch, but I know he didn't win Finals MVP.
What'd you say?
I said I know he didn't win Finals MVP, and quite frankly, in 2010, they should have given Finals MVP to Pau Gasol. I don't know how they gave it to Kobe after shooting 6 of 24 and getting bailed out by Ron Artest, a.k.a. Meta World Peace. Kobe doesn't have a seat at this table.
You guys
Are we going to start talking about getting bailed out? Didn't Ray Allen bail out LeBron James against the San Antonio Spurs? Did Kyrie Irving
stats and tell me if LeBron was shooting 6 of 24 before those guys hit those shots. Look up those stats and let me know what their stats were.
I'll look it up.
Because don't get me started on Paxton hitting the shot and Steve Kerr hitting the shot to give Jordan championships.
I was going there. Kerr hit a shot. Paxton hit a shot. I was going there.
But only one of them was 6 of 24 before it happened, and that was Kobe.
Yep, and he's still a five-time NBA champion.
Well, he had Shaq for three of them.
And LeBron has had how many guys has he played with?
Not prime Shaq. Not the most dominant player of all time.
You guys need to go do a podcast somewhere.
Scottie Pippen, the best perimeter defender of all time, that had to carry Jordan in that Bulls defense, by the way.
This is why I asked you to come on, Jordan. It was an ambush. I was
I was getting ready to say, now I feel like I've been ambushed. This is the whole purpose of the call.
You posted it in the FanHerd Discord. I was curious what your agenda was.
I heard Reed yesterday morning talk about how you and him never argue and you never fight, and it seems like he's taken all of the past couple of months of him not arguing and him not being able to fight, you know, and get his points across. Taking them out on me. I feel attacked.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah. It is true. I apologize for attacking you, Jordan, but yeah.
Here's what we'll have to team up. We'll have to get on a podcast, and we'll have to talk about LeBron. We'll have to talk about Kobe. We'll have to talk about MJ. Get Brett on there. Get all this frustration.
Brett is not invited. Stop inviting Brett. He's not invited. Jordan,
Brett's
going to
be on your side, though, John.
No, I don't need an ally. I don't need an ally. I'm perfectly fine handling it by myself. Jordan, appreciate all the work you've been doing for us. Appreciate all the information that you've been giving us on X. You're a great basketball mind. I hope to talk to you. You know, maybe the roster is going to be kind of set, so maybe we don't talk much over the next couple months, but definitely during basketball season.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Great basketball mind, I guess, until it comes to the LeBron and MJ argument, right, John?
Correct, yes. Factually correct.
One last thing. I think, you know, it's probably going to be about another month before the roster is completely set. I wouldn't expect Lanier to make a decision anytime soon. I think he's going to go through the entire NBA draft process, get feedback, get his grade on what he needs to improve on. I think Connect didn't commit until right around, I think, May 22nd of last season or last summer. So I would kind of probably expect the same timeline for Lanier. So we're likely going to be sitting around waiting a while for that one to be completely finished. And as I told Bob yesterday, they're not done in the portal. They are, as he mentioned earlier in the show, they are looking for a backup point guard. They don't want Zakai playing as many minutes as he has in the past. There is a portal target they are after. And, you know, we'll see if it comes to fruition or not. They are trying to find Zakai some help. But have a great day, guys. I appreciate you letting me come on and talk.
Good stuff.
Learn more about it turned into read it and weep, buddy. How about that? Jordan, appreciate you. Talk to you soon. Sam, send us to break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach?
You should go sign up for the 37 Club, fanrunradio.com/the37club. Got some exclusive content coming out the next couple days. Russell, Bob, and Jake going to sit down and chop it up. You get access to the Fan Run Discord.
Wait, what?
Russell, Bob, and Jake going to sit down and chop it up. It'll be a great time. It'll be a great time. Maybe you just try to blend in there, let Russell and Jake deal with it, and you just kind of show up and answer a couple questions, give a couple giggles, and wrap it up. I don't know, but also Smokies Night, a month from today, Smoky Stadium, Fan Run, members of the 37 Club get free tickets to come hang out with us. Gonna do a fun night there. You'll get some VIP treatment. So. Things to keep an eye out on the next month or so. Appreciate Jordan Moore for his time. Think I was a little too aggressive towards him, Sam? You think he took that to heart? I hope not. It was just a joke, man.
That's just how the LeBron Jordan debate goes.
It's always funny when
it always ramps up at some point.
Well, to me, it's always funny when people try to sneak Kobe in there. Like, okay. Maybe you've got to stay outside the club. You're not in that tier. You're not in that weight class. If some old heads want to come in and argue about Kareem, okay, Kareem, you can have a seat at the table. But that's it. That's it for me. Those are the only three that can have a seat at the table for now. Maybe in a couple years we'll be talking about Nikola Jokic. But for now, it's Jordan, LeBron, and maybe Kareem.
That one's my favorite. People talking about how far Jokic can get up there before he retires.
It is going to be crazy to watch just because if they're able to get the repeat and keep that roster somewhat intact, because Murray's a good piece and Gordon's a good complimentary piece. I was thinking about that last night. I was like, I don't know how long. It's weird. As I was trying to sleep last night, thinking about Aaron Gordon's athleticism. I was like, man, he's perfect in that defensive dunker spot. Like, he's so good at doing all the little things they need him to do. Like, how long can he be an elite athlete? And, man, what would the magic be like if they kept Aaron Gordon? I don't know why I was thinking about that at like 12:45 at night, but I was. But, yeah, if Jokic can win maybe two more championships, because his game should age really well, you know, as he gets older. Because it's not like he's beating you with athleticism. He's just beating you with size and smarts.
Yeah, vision.
So you would think he'd be able to have a LeBron-like run where he's elite for the next, you know, 10 years. It's a changing of the guard right now, though. I mean, like, LeBron's out, Durant's out, Curry never made it. You have Jokic kind of as the defending champ, but then, like, otherwise you've got just, you know, bludgeoning, burgeoning, breaking through stars and Jalen Brunson and Anthony Edwards and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Whatever happens. I mean, Kyrie, I guess, maybe kind of a weird piece of he's an OG versus also, like, you know, there with Luka as they're trying to break through. Sam, you said you had a stat about that and just how rare it is.
Yeah, first time since 2005 that Woo. There is no LeBron, KD, or Steph in the second round. 19 years.
Of those 19 years, I'd say LeBron made the second round all but like four of those years. But yeah, like, of course, when the years he wouldn't, Steph would have been there, Durant would have been there. Durant feels a little bit like Kobe in this. We're just talking about like the elites. And like Durant's elite basketball player, but he doesn't deserve to be mentioned with Steph and LeBron as far as I'm concerned when it comes to winning. I get it. You have to have it for the stat to make it make sense. And again, those are the three names that you talk about from this era. But to me, it's Steph and LeBron. Kind of like how it's LeBron and Jordan. Durant's Kobe. they're on the cusp, but not in the same weight class.
Saw a post on X talking about the Kobe LeBron comparisons, and this isn't necessarily about game. This is more about mindset. Person writes, 24-year-old Kobe after losing a series, I quote, "We have a million and one excuses we could make. Fact of the matter is, we're not going to make any. We weren't good enough. We've got to be better." 39-year-old LeBron after losing, and I quote, "We've been hit with injuries after injuries after injuries, and it's hard to come back from that."
What about 30-year-old Kobe that refused to shoot at the end of the Phoenix Suns first-round series because he was mad Phil Jackson said he needed to pass the ball more? What about that, Kobe? What about that Mamba mentality that took an entire second half off and I think had one field goal attempt in the second half as his team got ran off the court after blowing a 3-1 lead? What about that, Kobe?
I feel like people mix in like the media antics that LeBron tries to make with the on-court play.
People don't like LeBron.
Yeah, like that.
But it's also the antics, sure, and like the China stuff was bad. People were mad about that. But really, like, it's always been LeBron threatens Jordan, he threatens Kobe. And I used to be the same way. I used to be a Kobe guy. I used to be anti-LeBron. But at a certain point, you're like, okay, this is dumb. Like, you're arguing against just what your eyes are telling you. You're arguing against greatness. It's like sitting here and trying to act like, you know, that careers of Peyton Manning and LeBron James are the same. If in your heart you believe Peyton Manning was a better quarterback, okay, that's fine. But you can't argue, like, the actual, like, accolades. And like long-term greatness, like one guy didn't have the same extra, you know, the same amount of years, and that kind of distanced yourself as far as I'm concerned. I used to be that way with Kobe and LeBron, but like, there's no real argument you can make other than the fact like he didn't run from the grind. I guess the other thing you could say is like, hey, stay with the Lakers. That's fine. He also like demanded. He went on radio and said he'd rather play, I think, on Mars than play with the Lakers. I think was the quote he had. He's like, trade me to the Bulls, trade me to the Clippers, trade me, and the Lakers are just like, no. And then they went and got Pau Gasol. But he had a whole offseason. They were like, I'm out of here. I hate the Lakers. Trade me. But, like, yes, he stayed with the Lakers his entire career. That's the one feather in his cap I would give him. And he's a lot, you know, gets more credit for being a more ferocious competitor. And I think we like that from our competitors. So I'll give Kobe that.
I think we might be seeing a new generation of that in Ant-Man.
Yeah, no, I mean, Anthony Edwards is wired like Anthony is wired like Kobe and wired like Jordan. I think that's why he's going to resonate because he's that same body architect too.
Yeah.
He's not going to beat you just with brute size and strength like LeBron. So you're going to appreciate it more when Ant is flying to the rim and doing things around the rim just because he's not supposed to necessarily be down there. But he's dunking on everybody. So I agree. I think Anthony Edwards is kind of up next there. And John Morant has that same stuff if he can stay healthy and stay out of trouble.
The other thing with Ant-Man, too, and we've talked about this, is he's got that mindset, but then he also, I feel, is he's got this kind of marketability vibe to
he's
him,
a superstar.
Too. Yeah, I mean, just this, you know, kind of a sense of humor and everything else. I just hope he can keep all that.
He's a superstar, and so far it's been all ball and been on all competition.
Just saw, apparently, Windy, Brian Windhorst, was on Get Up on ESPN, and he said, I'm predicting LeBron intends to opt out of his contract and become a free agent for the first time since 2018. Sounds like the Lakers are trying to rally. They've said that they are open to drafting Bronny as an attempt to keep LeBron.
Don't do that, Lakers. Have some pride.
That's what I think.
You're the Los Angeles Lakers.
I would totally agree with that.
Shaq, Kobe, Magic, Kareem. Come on, have some damn pride. You don't draft LeBron James's kid to try to appease him and make him happy. You pick yourself up and you say, okay, we lost him. Don't go out there and cheapen yourself by doing that. You don't have to beg somebody. You got Anthony Davis under contract. You got Austin Reeves under contract. Are you going to have anything, you know, if LeBron leaves in terms of championship aspirations? No, but let's be honest. You didn't have championship aspirations this year either. Don't cheapen yourself to go beg him to stay by drafting Bronny. Go change your hair color. Get some tattoos. Don't do that. Come on. You're the Lakers. Have some damn pride.
That's the part of LeBron that bothers me, quite honestly, is just how he engineers that kind of stuff. That and the coaching changes and those are the things. He's an amazing player, obviously. And outside of basketball, he does some really, really great things as a human being in terms of giving back, et cetera. But this part of him is what really just frustrates the hell out of me.
And I unironically ask, would it be better to take his ball and just go home and retire? Because that's what Michael Jordan did. He was mad the way the Bulls were treating the roster and that they weren't going to pay Phil and that Pippen was upset. And he was just like, I'm not playing without my guys. I retire.
It's a great point because the truth is if he continues this wherever he goes or if he stays with the Lakers and they still don't win, it's going to continue to tarnish him, I think.
What I would say about LeBron is he's never demanded a trade, never requested a trade. Every time he's left, he's been a free agent, which is what free agency was designed for. And like player empowerment and like putting yourself in the best position, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, with what you say about the coaches, okay, I would still maintain it's not like he's been playing with any Hall of Fame coaches except Spoelstra. And once Spoelstra became kind of ingrained in that culture, it wasn't like he was trying to get them to leave. But like Dwayne Wade also wanted Eric Spoelstra fired and Pat Riley to take over because Pat Riley was a legend. The one thing I'll say about LeBron is that he throws his teammates under the bus. And he does it in a passive-aggressive way. And the GM stuff is true. And, like, the moving the pieces around, that's probably hurt him late in his career. You know, I talked about Alex Caruso. I kind of mean that. Like, the Russell Westbrook trade was dumb. And some of the stuff they've done hasn't gone well. And I think it's hurt him. We'll switch gears at the top of the hour. Hour two is over. Hour three is coming at you. Stick with us.
Looking for a luxury RV?